friends, this is Andrew Phipps, and we're always excited about your being a part of the Faith Family Freedom broadcast. It's an honor that you would be with us today. I know that so many of us, millions of people, watch the debate between former President Trump and the Vice President Kamala Harris. And I guess everybody has a reaction or at least some kind of a connotation about what they witness. We all have our own viewpoints, but I believe that President Trump did quite well. I'm not sure what the pollsters say, but I think that he did real well. I think the closing was fabulous. I think when he pointed out the inaccuracies and the fact that we're not better off than we were 3.5 years ago. Vice President Harris is conducting a campaign as though the Republicans were in power and that she's trying to attack their positions. The Biden administration is the one that we hold completely responsible for the degradation that we see. In many places, we're the laughingstock of the world. We know economically that we're not better. Just go to the grocery store. When you get your milk, your eggs, your bread, when you buy your orange juice or whatever it is, we all see how that inflation is at work. Inflation is a hidden tax. It's when you have too much money chasing too few goods. And we know that our economy is not better. We know that according to those that do the statistics, that it takes somewhere around $11,000 for a family today just to stay equal with where they were 3 or 4 years ago. We do see that when we look at consumer price index and many other factors, we know that we're in trouble, and everything that the vice president is proposing could be classified as more taxes. When you use words like entitlement, that's a code word for more taxes. When you say that we're going to give $25,000 to potential first-time home ownership, when you have had to back away from the student loans because the courts have held that it's not within the prerogatives as now set in law. Well, these people are obviously trying to buy votes. The more they promise, they think that the American people will be gullible, that they will not check into the facts. And of course, the ABC people did a job on the president. They had a path that they were pursuing. They wanted to put Donald Trump into traps. They fast-checked him, I believe it was 5 times. Never did they question Kamala Harris about the things that to which she is accountable. We know that we're not better off than we were 3.5 years ago. We know that the cost of whether it's home ownership and then to have the Biden administration flood Aurora, Colorado, Springfield, Ohio, with Haitian migrants that have become a threat to the community. They've added about a third to this community in Springfield, Ohio. When you add 20,000 people, that's no small number. And there's no place for all of them to go. The school systems, the housing markets. And it seems to me that most thinking Americans know that the Biden administration has made no sense. It's contrary to all common sense. We can't continue to spend like we've been spending with a debt of $35 trillion. And it seems like it's almost reached the exponential factor where that it's going to duplicate or replicate itself in a way that'll be like a runaway locomotive. Our children, our grandchildren are going to have a legacy of taxation imposed upon them that will diminish their standard of living. They will not live like most of us are living currently, with the style homes and with the accommodations and the amenities and being able to eat out and do things that we've always assumed that we could do. Well, it's a socialistic approach. It's the idea that we want to give more power to the government, allow the government to set dictates, to set quotas, to set the standards. No private health insurance, Kamala has stated in previous broadcasts. Of course, today, whatever she says is usually a violation of what she said previously. Whatever the issue, you can almost say that she, when she says, I haven't changed my values, that may be true. Her values are a socialistic type government. Her father, I understand, is a socialistic, communistic type professor and gives adherence to Marxism and all of those crazy ideas. The idea that the state, the collective, ought to be able to make decisions, distribute and allocate the products made. And of course, what it will do to small jobs and others. We are going to be in a mess. That's the best we can say. If for some reason that the Harris-Walz team would be elected, we are going to see not only chaos and more anarchy in our streets, we're going to see an economy that is upside down. I believe the people will be begging for relief because the state always doesn't do what they say they're going to do. Even in Russia, the people that were at the top of the change, the nomenklatura, they call them, the people that had prominent positions, they did better than anybody else. They had homes on the Crimea. They got the better cars and so on. We cannot trust, we must not trust the future to Kamala Harris, who has gotten to this place by not winning a single vote in the process within the Democratic Party, other than the delegates after they threw Joe Biden under the bus and said, you've got to go. Either we'll make it easy or you can make it hard. When they decided that Joe Biden could no longer be a viable candidate, then they elevated Kamala Harris as though that she had attained some kind of goddess estate, that she ought to be praised and worshiped, that she ought to be the epitome of what everybody wants to be. Well, I know that you and I don't agree with that. We know that she is a liar, that she is a person that has used whatever to get to her places of influence, whether it was as Attorney General, U.S. Senator, her associations with the Mayor Willie Brown and others as she came to prominence. This lady will say or do anything. And I mean, we have to be vigilant. We have to be good citizens. We have to know that we're making good decisions, and I hope and pray that we make the right one and support Donald Trump and J.D. Vance to be our next national leaders.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
Embark on a life-changing journey through the ancient lands of Greece, where history and faith collide. Walk in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul as you explore the rich heritage and breathtaking beauty of this remarkable country. Over 11 unforgettable days, experience the vibrant culture and deep spiritual significance of cities like Athens, Corinth, and Thessaloniki. Discover the places where Paul preached, prayed, and penned letters that have inspired millions. From bustling markets to serene temples, this journey offers a unique blend of adventure, reflection, and fellowship. This incredible tour is brought to you by Signature Tours, a company with a family tradition of four generations. With meticulous attention to detail and the best private guides in the industry, Signature Tours ensures an amazing trip. Join Andrew Phipps and his wife Shirley from June 18th through the 28th, 2025, for an experience that will deepen your faith and leave you with memories to last a lifetime. Don't miss this opportunity to connect with history and make new friends on this incredible spiritual journey. Scan the QR code or head over to phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org to learn more and secure your spot today.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
And friends, from time to time, we like to have folks that we know and have met, people that we think will add to the diatribe, people that will add some truth to what we are trying to promulgate. And today, I want you to listen and appreciate the work of Pastor Jeremy Simpson down in the good state of North Carolina. I've been to his church, and he's a wonderful man that loves God, loves his family, loves his congregation, and loves his nation. Brother Jeremy Simpson.
What's up, everybody? So, I want to talk to you just a second. I've been studying. I'm here in my study. Been up since 4:45 this morning because I had a lady had surgery today. And so I went down and prayed with her. And I was just thinking some thoughts that I want to give you. Now, I got five grandbabies, and nobody's on here yet, but there'll be some join on, I'm sure, in a second. I got five grandbabies, Israel, Zeke, Jana, Chloe, Mary Pat, 7 years old and under. They're crazy, y'all, okay? And Israel, my oldest granddaughter, she has this word that she uses periodically. Hello, Brother Terrell. She has this word she uses periodically where I don't even know who taught it to her. I don't know if she learned it from her daddy. I don't know if she learned it from her mom. But she loves, she don't use it a lot. But every now and again, when somebody does something silly or crazy, she'll use the word psycho. She'll just say it. You psycho. And the truth is, you are a psycho. And I am a psycho. At some level, we're all psychotic. We have to deal with the psyche of our mind. And one of the things that I'm thinking about today that I think is really defeating a lot of God's children is playing the victim. And I want to talk to you about it for just a second. Playing the victim. And I do Treasures of Truth podcast, which is on Apple and Google and Spotify. And I'd love for you to check that out. It's Treasures of Truth. But one thing that is killing our church folk is playing the victim. I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? Here I am on Facebook, soapbox. Can I get a little off my chest about the soapbox? One thing that kills me about Facebook is the whining and the complaining and the poor little old me stuff that goes on constantly. And it's not just church people, it's church leaders a lot of times. They'll post on Facebook talking about how hard it is to serve God, how hard it is to be a pastor, how hard it is in this world. Can I tell you something? It's always been hard. Can I just give you that truth? Do I need to go through the King James Bible and give you every illustration of what men and women faced throughout the Word of God? It's always been hard. It's always been hard. I understand we're living in the last days. Can I let you in on another doctrinal statement? We've always been in the last days. And I'm not coming to you in any condescending way, but playing the victim, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I was thinking about, you can study psychology, and I've studied psychology and different things that about it, because I'm a psycho, you're a psycho, okay? We're all psychos to some level. So what we got to do is we got to work with the Word of God and the Spirit of God to keep our mind under control, to bring our mind under subjection, to gird up the loins of our mind. Because if we don't do that, we just get more psychotic. We just get more psychotic. And that's the world we're living in right now. I mean, from the church to the government and everybody in between, we're psychotic. People believe their own lies anymore. They believe their own lies. If you don't believe that, well, I'm not going to say anything, but I almost said something about something political, and I'm not going to go there because I want to help you spiritually. But people believe their own lies. They believe their own lies. They're psychotic. They have lost their brains. Because we've left the Word of God. This right here, we've left this book, and we've not brought our mind, we've not, like the Bible tells us, we've not girded our mind. Now here's the truth. When somebody plays the victim, and by the way, this is a 6,000-year-old game that we've been playing as humanity. We've been playing this game since the very beginning, the blame game, the victim game. I'm a victim. And that victim mentality of always poor little me, poor old, I'm just going through such a hard time. I'm going to tell you something. First of all, when you play the victim, it's probably an exaggeration. I'll say this. Nothing is as bad as it seems, and nothing is as good as it seems. It'd do us well to put that in our memory bank. Nothing is as bad as it seems, and nothing is as good as it seems. And I have this rule in my own life to just try to wait, to give it a moment. If I act on the spur of the moment, most of the time I make a mistake. And so I've really tried to develop this over the past few years, especially, of just stopping, just being still, just waiting. Because the victim mentality exaggerates the situation. how bad something is. And then people play the victim for that reason. They exaggerate what they're going through. Then these people that play the victim, oh, this is something. They play the victim to justify the abuses that they have handed out. Because they feel if they come into real contact with what they've done, if they come into real contact with what they've done, then they're going to have to deal with it. So therefore, they have to make themselves feel poor little old me, like Brother Walter just said, gloom, despair, agony on me. They have to play that game so it justifies the abuse that they put on somebody. Another reason people play the victim is so they can cope with their own situation. They get this mindset of, well, the reason I'm going through this is because it's just, you know, I've got this syndrome of, what will happen, what can happen will happen to me. Murphy's Law. I get tickled at my daddy because when he's working on something, a lot of times he'll just be like, oh, it's just Murphy's Law. If it's going to go wrong, it'll go wrong while I'm doing it. And it's hilarious. But, and he's not a victim in any way. You'll get run over by Brother Ronnie for sure. But they do that to cope with their own failure. Okay. Like it's just my bad luck. It's just my upbringing. It's just, I don't have any friends. It's just, I don't have what he has. And, you know, if I had millions of dollars like they had, then I'd be okay. And so they have to play that victim to cope with their own failure. Then, this is another important one. They use that victimization. Well, I've seen this in church. They use that victimization to manipulate. They use that victimization to manipulate others. And that's a real dangerous thing that people do. And I've seen that, and I have to be careful what I say. I don't want to say it, but I've seen that for 28 years of pastoring, people walking in and they're seeking attention is what they're doing. And then here's the last one that I want to give you. They do it to diffuse their own responsibilities. And here's the thing. There's no excuse for not having victory. If you've got a victim mentality today, it's your own fault. I said this to my church not long ago, and I meant every word of it, that we need to reach our potential. I want to ask you right now, what is your potential? You know, I think one of the ugliest things we can do is pick out 10 children and look at them and compare them and say, oh, that and there, he's going to make some of themselves. That one's going to make something of themselves. That one I don't know about. That's the worst thing you can do, because here's what I'm telling you. Your potential is infinite. A lot of people, they've got this victim mentality that's satanic, really. It's a satanic attack on the mind. And they've got this victim mentality where they feel like they have a ceiling. They have a ceiling that's as high as they'll ever go. I'm going to tell you what your potential is. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's your potential. You know what the potential of your ministry is? I can do all things. You know what the potential of your marriage is? I can do all things. You know what the potential of your finances are? I can do all things. You know what the potential of your soul winning efforts are? I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. Stop playing the victim. Nothing is as bad as it seems. Nothing is as good as it seems. Now listen, I wrote this down, and I want to give you this, and I'm going to get off here. I just had this on my mind, so I'm giving it to you. And you think about this thought right here. My brother just passed back in June, and my brother Andy, and he never, he had a wreck when he was 17 years of age and was paralyzed from his chest down. But he did not let that stop him. He did not let that stop him. He didn't play the victim. And man, I've heard him tell stories about rehab and tell stories about things he's gone through, you know, personally. But when you saw him in public, he didn't play the victim. In fact, he would get mad at you if you babied him. He would get mad if you tried to help him do something. He wanted to show you, I can do this myself. I admire that about my brother because he never had that victim mentality. He was strong. He was, I'll show you. And I'm telling you, that is such a need in the Christian society today to stop playing the victim. You say, but it's hard. It's always been hard. Stop playing the victim. Really, if you want to know what self-victimization is, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a very disguised pride. People that play the victim, they are disguising their pride. They are disguising their narcissism. And I'll just give you a few thoughts. I got a couple quotes I want to read you. Stop playing the victim to circumstances that you created and start doing something to change them. Oh, that's good stuff. Stop playing the victim to circumstances you created and do something to change it. Man, that's good. And here's another good one. If you always play the victim, you'll always be the victim. If you always play the victim, you will always be the victim. So just a few random thoughts this morning. I was on my way to the church. I just came back from Forsyth Hospital making a visit. If you didn't watch all this video, some of you just now joining on, go back and watch it and share it because God's people need to hear this today. Pastors need to hear this today. Stop whining about things that are not good. Every pastor has problems. Every church member has problems. Every family has problems. It's just some people like to use it for attention. Some people just continue to go on for the glory of God. So just a few random thoughts. I hope it'll help you. And I hope you have a good day. I'm going to be preaching tonight at the Island Ford Baptist Church in Jonesville, North Carolina. I got to go a long ways to preach tonight. About 2 miles, and I'm pretty excited about that. So it's just right up the road from my house. But our choir will be singing, and I'll be preaching, and I'm looking forward to being with Brother Charlie Kennedy and the good folks at Island Ford. Share the video. Put some thought on it. Let this help you, because we're victors. We're not victims. We're not victims. We're victors. I can do all things. Man, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We're more than conquerors. I could go all day. God bless you.
Dear friends, this is Andrew Phipps with Faith, Family, and Freedom. A cultural war is raging, and how it ends will have grave consequences for me and you. It appears that those who are striving to remove the ancient landmarks are succeeding, or at least they are getting the attention and notoriety. You and I have no choice. We must resist at all costs. Never in my lifetime have I seen such an attack upon our Christian heritage and values. The United States Constitution means little or nothing to these folks as long as they can promote their own agendas of extreme socialism and the most bizarre attacks upon all that we deem good and wholesome. Truth is rejected by those who hate the truth, and they hate America and its exceptionalism. Their goal is to make America into what it never has been. To these leftist radicals, their hatred of personal liberties and the freedom to practice the faith of our fathers are the narratives they chant nightly upon our so-called news channels. I know you agree. That's why I'm appealing to you today to join me in the fight to do all that we can do to preserve our heritage for our children and their children. This is a giant step of faith to go into these several television markets with our Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcasts. These areas include Cleveland, Ohio, and that area,
southwestern Michigan, Indianapolis, basically the southeastern part of Kentucky and much of Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, and over 40 counties in that state, as well as some of the North Carolina areas. This is a huge step of faith for me, and I need your help. So many of you have been so kind and allowed me to speak in your pulpits. But these television outlets give us an opportunity to possibly reach thousands, maybe millions. If you believe our ministry to be credible, would you consider helping us financially? A monthly support, a one-time offering, or whatever you can do would be so greatly appreciated. The need is now, and it is urgent. I am willing to do what I can do to speak truth to error as best as I can determine it. There is no need for us to talk about the deplorable conditions in which we find ourselves today if we're not willing to do something about it. Am I able to count on your support? I hope so. Would you please pray for our ministry and pray that God would give us discernment and provide the means that we can stand in the gap in these last days as we try to promote the principles of Christian living and the faith of our fathers. And this is Andrew Phipps.
Do you have trouble finding King James scripture items? Has your local Christian bookstore closed down like ours has? Do you have trouble finding things for events at church or personal items for at home? Well, this is the reason I created Kinsman & Company. It is a totally King James scripture product store. And today, I'm glad to announce that we now have scripture cards. These have King James scripture on them. They're blank on the inside, and they have beautiful scriptures on the outside. And so these right here, these are the Woodland Friends. And they all have encouraging scripture that you could send to your friends and family with a little note inside to say how much you care. I also have, besides the Woodland Friends, I have this beautiful garden collection. They come in a nice box. There's 12 in here, 4 designs, and you get 3 of each design with white envelopes. And then also, I have the lemon and lavender, which is so beautiful, that comes the same way. So anyway, if you're looking for a card that has King James scripture on it, please go to my website. It's Kinsman, as in the Kinsman Redeemer, K-I-N-S-M-A-N, and company.shop. And you can shop there, and you can find summer sales right now. Thank you.
The great American dream was placed in the heart of our founding fathers, I believe, by Almighty God. No nation ever had such a Christian beginning as America. I say that is the American dream, but it is becoming not a dream, but a nightmare. And the nation that we once knew is receding over the horizon. And we have those who purport to lead us now who are such poor examples. Someone has wisely said, you know, when little men cast long shadows, the sun is about to set. And I'm afraid that we're there, and the nation that was born in Philadelphia in 1776 needs to be born again.
If you adopt the view that everything belongs to society, then it belongs to nobody. Why should I have any respect for property if it belongs to everybody? If you adopt the view that no man is responsible for his own behavior because somehow or other society is responsible, well then, why should he seek to make his behavior good? Now, of course, don't misunderstand me. On a scientific level, it's true that what we are is affected a great deal by the society in which we live and grow up, of course. All of us are different than we would have been if we had grown up in a different society. But I am only saying that a set of social institutions which stresses individual responsibility is the kind of a society which is likely to have a much higher and more responsible moral climate than the kind of a society in which you stress the lack of responsibility of the individual.
How much electricity does the United States demand each year?
I don't know that number off the top of my head.
Okay, it's 4 terawatts annually.
Mm-hmm.
So the Secretary of Energy didn't know it. The EPA doesn't know it. FERC probably doesn't know it. Who else doesn't know it in this country? And we're mandating electric vehicles. What's the percentage increase in electricity demand if we get to the 2030 and 2035 mandates that your agency is pushing for and the administration is pushing for? What is the percentage increase that we will need?
0.4% in 2030 and 4% in 2050.
Okay, so the Secretary of Energy sat right there 2 weeks ago, and she said it's going to double our electricity demand, and you're giving me a much more accurate or at least specific answer. You guys have no idea how much demand is going to be there. Where is that electricity going to come from?
Well, first of all, we did analyze the demand that the implementation of these proposals.
EPA analyzed it, or
yes, we did. We okay. analyzed it as part of our.
Where is the electricity going to come from?
Analysis. It come from a diverse grid.
It's 110 degrees in my hometown today. The wind is not blowing. The sun is shining, and after 4 hours of darkness, there will be no batteries on this planet that can produce a reliable source of baseload dispatchable power. We have no plan for this.
Government has only two ways of getting money other than raising taxes. It can go into the money market and borrow, competing with its own citizens and driving up interest rates, which it has done, or it can print money, and it's done that. Both methods are inflationary. We're victims of language. The very word inflation leads us to think of it as just high prices. And then, of course, we resent the person who puts on the price tags, forgetting that he or she is also a victim of inflation. Inflation is not just high prices. It's a reduction in the value of our money. When the money supply is increased, but the goods and services available for buying are not, we have too much money chasing too few goods.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest.
So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
Andrew Phipps has been part of the WHMB television family for decades now. And as the general manager of the station for the past 28 years, I've had the chance to get to know Andrew quite well. Needless to say, I was very excited when I heard Andrew had written a new book titled It's Always a Struggle, But. This new book sums up Andrew's life story written in a way that only Andrew can tell. From early survival and great loss to eventual success and many aspects of his life, Andrew Phipps, an award-winning educator, speaker, and broadcaster, takes readers on a personal journey. This journey shows how a second chance, along with unwavering faith and hard work, changed the course of his life and can change yours. Each page in Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, brings valuable life lessons, homespun humor, inspiration, Christian principles, and a reminder to never lose sight of the transformational power of God in our daily lives. The book will remind you to be grateful for all things and to see the hand of God in all opportunities that surround us in every season of life. Remember, It's Always a Struggle, But, by Andrew Phipps.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Do you have trouble finding King James Scripture items? Has your local Christian bookstore closed down like ours has? Do you have trouble finding things for events at church or personal items for at home? Well, this is the reason I created Kinsman & Company. It is a totally King James Scripture product store. And today, I'm glad to announce that we now have Scripture cards. These have King James Scripture on them. They're blank on the inside, and they have beautiful scriptures on the outside. And so these right here, these are the Woodland Friends. And they all have encouraging scripture that you could send to your friends and family with a little note inside to say how much you care. I also have, besides the Woodland Friends, I have this beautiful garden collection. They come in a nice box. There's 12 in here, 4 designs, and you get 3 of each design with white envelopes. And then also, I have the lemon and lavender, which is so beautiful, that comes the same way. So anyway, if you're looking for a card that has King James Scripture on it, please go to my website. It's Kinsman, as in the Kinsman Redeemer, K-I-N-S-M-A-N, and company.shop. And you can shop there, and you can find summer sales right now. Thank you.
As someone who was evacuated from the House floor and described January 6th as a dark day in the history of America, I wonder if you share those concerns about political violence around this election.
No, I don't think there's going to be political violence this election. I think that, you know, with the concerns in the last election, unfortunately, were pertaining to mailing universal ballots and who was voting these people. I mean, I live in Appalachia, and every election that's ever been contested in the history of Southeast Kentucky pertain to loose absentee balloting rules. And I think now the balloting rules have been tightened. There's no COVID, so there's no need to mail universal ballots to every registered voter on the voter list in America. If you want an absentee ballot, then vote absentee. My daughter's going to vote absentee because she's going to be on a vacation during that time, a long vacation. So request the ballot. And I think that that was the problem with the last election. That's why so many Republicans were concerned about the integrity of our voting. I believe that's been solved. I'm confident that the states of Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona were the most questions arose the last election. I'm confident those problems have been solved, and I'm confident there's going to be a peaceful transfer of power.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you may believe that about the actual changing from President Biden to President whomever, but we have already seen political violence in this election cycle with the attempted assassination of Donald Trump last month. Oversight obviously launched an investigation into that. What's next for the committee, and how does it dovetail with the bipartisan task force that has now been set up by the Speaker and Democratic leader?
I think what the bipartisan task force is going to do is try to determine the exact failures, who's to blame. They're going to focus in on the shooter. Did the shooter act alone? Those sorts of things. Where my committee has legislative jurisdiction is over the Secret Service. And this committee has had a long history of investigating the Secret Service, dating back to Elijah Cummings and Jason Chaffetz when they were chair. There's been a concern for over a decade in the Oversight Committee by Republicans and Democrats that the Secret Service was lax in their training requirements and their hiring requirements. And they had always had a bad scorecard with respect to morale among government employees. So we want to fix the problem. We look forward to hearing what the bipartisan task force concludes. And we want to try to make sure that this never happens again. Well, I want President Biden to be safe. I want Kamala Harris to be safe. And I want Donald Trump to be safe, and we shouldn't have to worry about that. But right now, I don't think very many people have confidence that the Secret Service can protect those people. So we want to fix the problem, and that's the role the House Oversight Committee will play.
Well, I know that you're busy on the Oversight Committee with this matter, Congressman. I wonder if you're planning to pursue, as has been reported, the idea of sending a subpoena to Kamala Harris or other members of the Biden administration for covering up, as it's been suggested, Joe Biden's mental acuity that led him out of this race.
Well, we certainly believe there was a cover-up. I don't think anyone's ever said anything about subpoenaing the vice president or anything like that. We have subpoenaed staffers. We've identified three staffers, as well as the White House position, that we believe, according to press reports in the New York Times and other mainstream media outlets, were the ones that were the gatekeepers, the ones that were protecting Joe Biden from meeting with his cabinet, the ones that were shielding Joe Biden from the press, the ones that were escorting Joe Biden on and off the plane and in and out of the White House. We want to see exactly when the president's health started deteriorating and exactly what they did to try to conceal that. So I don't think very many people in America would dispute the fact that the president has been in declining health. The question is for how long? And the big concern in our committee is, was there a shadow government? Is Joe Biden incoherent completely? We don't know. But if so, who was calling the shots? Was there a shadow government? I think that's an issue of national security. And I think that's a question that a lot of Americans in both parties have.
Do you have enough evidence of that, sir, that we will actually see a hearing in regard to this matter? Is there enough there? How does it move forward?
Well, we're certainly hoping that the White House staffers will honor their subpoena. I assume that that'll be going to court. We have a lot of subpoenas outstanding that are unfortunately being slow walked through court. So certainly this is something that we're not going to let up on. We certainly want to know exactly what circumstances evolved around the concealment of the president's poor health. Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, you look at the doctor issued a statement just a few months prior to Joe Biden dropping out of the presidential election, stating that he was in perfect health. And I think we've seen Nancy Pelosi and other leaders who have regularly met with Joe Biden say, no, he's not in good enough health. He's not in good enough health to serve four more years as president. So we have a lot of questions, and hopefully our subpoenas will be upheld in the courts now, because every subpoena I've issued, to my knowledge, in the private sector has been honored. The subpoenas that I have trouble with are the ones in the Biden administration. This has not been a transparent administration, and I'm not going to shed too many tears in January when they walk out of the White House.
Well, and of course, we don't have evidence of a cover-up here, but we do want to hear what you learn, Mr. Chairman. At the same time, I wonder if you're not going to subpoena Kamala Harris on that issue, do you in fact want to question the vice president about her role as the so-called border czar in this administration?
We have a lot of questions. I mean, the so-called border czar was what Joe Biden called her, the border czar. So, I don't think anyone...
Well, it's not an official title. I think we understand each other.
Well, I don't agree with that. I believe she is the border czar. And at the end of the day, the southern border is a disaster. We've had a wide open border for the entire 4 years. People are invited to come to the United States without any consequences when they come over here illegally. And I think that that's bad. I think that's been a drain on the taxpayers, on Medicaid, on our public health, on our crime. Fentanyl certainly has poured into this country across the southern border. So we want to know who's to blame for that, because we've got to fix the southern border. So with respect to subpoenas, I've never said anything about subpoenaing the vice president or the president. It's very difficult to subpoena the president or vice president. I would hope that the media will question Kamala Harris about what exact role she played on the border and why she didn't step up to secure the border. If she wasn't the border czar, she was still vice president. Why didn't she express outrage or concern that millions and millions of people were walking across the border illegally?
Well, we do hope we'll have the chance to ask some questions of the vice president at some point here on Bloomberg, Congressman, Mr. Chairman. But obviously, we get to ask questions of you now. I would like to focus on one thing in particular that you put out before the recess. It was a report on the three big PBMs, pharmacy benefits managers. Obviously, there have been a lot of bipartisan ideas as to how to overhaul PBMs. What legislatively do you think we can expect, if anything, from this Congress? Are these companies that need to be broken up?
Absolutely. I'm a Republican. I'm all about making money. I'm a conservative. I believe the government needs to get off the backs of the private sector. But we've got a problem with pharmaceutical prices in America. People that need prescription drugs are having to pay too much for prescription drugs. I think that's somewhere where we have bipartisan agreement. The PBMs are called, their pharmacy benefit managers were created to be the middlemen, to help negotiate the price of drugs, to make drugs cheaper. But what's happened over time is the PBMs have been purchased by the insurance companies, who have purchased the pharmaceutical, the pharmacies now. So they're vertically integrated, and they're actually gouging consumers as opposed to saving consumers money. And we believe that these PBMs need to be broken up. We believe they need to be held accountable for overbilling Medicare, Medicaid. You're seeing states, blue states and red states alike, pass legislation to rein in the PBMs. And I think that Congress should do a lot more. We have jurisdiction on the Oversight Committee with the federal health insurance plan. We've already passed legislation reining in the PBMs on the federal health insurance plan. But the two committees of jurisdiction that have broad jurisdiction over reining in the PBMs altogether are the House Ways and Means Committee and the House Energy and Commerce Committee. They've yet to do a whole lot on PBMs. And our investigation, I think, has shined a light on the abuses. That's that report that we issued. Katie Porter, Raj Krishnamurti, these are Democrat members from California and Illinois, respectively. They were all in with us on this investigation, on this report. It's very bipartisan. And we believe that the PBMs are one reason that healthcare is unaffordable in the United States.
On January 12th, 2007, a mysterious violinist played for 45 minutes on the New York subway. A few people stopped, a few clapped, and the violinist racked up about $1.30 tip. No one knows this, but the violinist is one of the best musicians in the world. In that subway, he played one of the most complex works ever written, with a $3.5 million violin. 2 days before, he sold out 2,000 tickets in a theater in Boston, and seats averaged about $100. He was paid $1,000 by the organizers for each minute of the performance. Joshua Bell is the violinist in the story, one of the world's greatest violinists. Listen to this. A bottle of water can be 50 cents at a supermarket, $2 at the gym, $3 at the cinema, and $6 on an airplane, same as in the experiment above. The only thing that changed its value was the place. So the next time you feel your worth is nothing, maybe you're in the wrong place. Remember this. Go to where you are appreciated, and go to a place that understands your value.